many of you have heard people out in the world say the Old Testament God is this mean, violent, wrathful God, and then the New Testament God, because of Jesus, is all about love and mercy? Have you heard people kind of make that big distinction before? Raise your hand if you've ever heard that. I have a lot, and I think that's a huge misconception that can really affect all of our relationships with God, the way we pray, the way we see God. The thing is, people messed up big way back in Old Testament times, and we mess up now. And more importantly, God's grace was astounding way back then, and it's astounding now. But we might just have to look closer and learn more to really believe that, to not make it seem like two totally different gods, to see beyond that stereotype that so many people have of God as this big, powerful, bearded man in the sky who blesses us like Santa Claus when we are good and then zaps us like a tyrant when we are bad. Don't we hear those kinds of things? And that hurts us. That hurts our connection to God. And there's so much in the Old Testament that can help us. I love the Old Testament because it is more mysterious and more complex. But I would venture to say one of the most revealing pictures we have of God is in Hosea, what you heard today. This little book is about a prophet with a wild story. Hosea grew up in a time of prosperity and riches and making a whole lot of deals. His nation was making a lot of deals with other nations to become a superpower like them, and they were making a lot of compromises, worshiping idols, doing practices that were against their laws, and going against their promise that they would be God's special holy people. And Hosea was called as a prophet to them, which essentially just means he was chosen to tell them a lot of things they did not want to hear. But Hosea was this radically different prophet because, unlike Isaiah or Jeremiah, he wasn't just speaking words to the people, calling down judgment or calling them back to faithfulness. He was actually called to live out what God wanted to say to the people, to be like a living parable deep into his personal life. Because Hosea the prophet was actually called to marry a woman named Gomer who was a prostitute. And she never remained faithful to him. Even after they got married, she did not stay faithful, and yet he never left her. He never left this wife. In fact, one day she came to him and she left him behind. She ran off with another man. And this other man wound up selling Hosea's wife into slavery. And do you think Hosea pointed and laughed and said, "See, now you get what you get"? No. He went and bought her back off the auction block and said, "You are mine, I am yours. We belong together. Be faithful to me." It's beautiful. And it embodies the real life struggle that God feels for all of us people since way back in Old Testament times up through now. That struggle of loving someone who can't seem to love you back. That's what Hosea was meant to be. And now the powers that be were turning on Hosea's people, just like Gomer's lover had turned on her, sold her into slavery, betrayed her. So now too, Hosea's people were on this knife's edge of destruction, because all the choices they had made were catching up with them, and they were about to get overthrown by another superpower nation. They were about to be taken into exile, all the choices that they had made building up to this point. And God says, maybe it's time to let all those things happen. Maybe it's time to let the chips fall where they may. They made their bed, now they have to lie in it. Let's depart from the Hosea story for just a second, because I want to ask you to think about how many of you have been in that position, have felt the way Hosea felt. How many of you have had a loved one, like a sibling or a friend or a child, who just keeps you up at night, who runs after things that are bad for them, that even put them in danger? And you have tried to help them. You feel like you've tried absolutely everything to help them, and nothing helps. You love them from this deep place in your heart, but yet sometimes you really resent them or even hate them because they hurt you so much. They keep running the other way, going after what's bad for them. And you just wring your hands. At times, people like that in our lives can make our lives a living hell. And I want to tell you, from the preacher's standpoint, I see that. I get that. God gets that too. God gets that running after people who seem unreachable because of drugs or anything where they won't accept help, mental health issues, wrong crowd, all these things, that God gets how painful and heartbreaking that is. And God even uses striking, tender images for himself to show, I get it. I see where you all are if you've ever felt that way. God remembers adopting Israel as his own child, seeing them suffering in Egypt as slaves and saying, you are my son and my daughter. And he even says this beautiful thing that's easily missed. God says, I was to you like someone who lifts an infant to their cheek. Now, I hear that and I think of two things. One is the beautiful image every week of baby Beckett just nuzzling his mommy Jolene. And then I think for myself, on a personal note, of my favorite part of any given day, the most holy and the most ordinary part all at the same time, when I get to be home and put my 2-year-old daughter Penny to bed and we read and do the bath and all that, but then we turn off all the lights except the nightlight and we just nuzzle in the dark and I hold her so close and I do lift her to my cheek. Because this is the age where she'll just let me shower her with kisses and nuzzle her nose and she won't push me away. So I do hold her close. And then there's this unbelievable moment where she just goes, every night I hear her do that and I know she's ready to go to bed. And it's such a holy, special moment because she just relaxes at home in my arms, trusting. And I think of that image, God using that for us. And I wonder, when is the last time you felt like that? In life or with God? Just because God says he treasures you the same way I treasure my baby girl. And we forget that. Israel forgot that. When they weren't running away to idols, they were constantly complaining that nothing was enough for them. God fed them water from rocks and rained down bread from heaven, and still it wasn't good enough for them, or they couldn't recognize God in it. God had taught them how to be this free people, brought them out of slavery, and then given them all these details. So when you read in the Old Testament all these rules, things that sound like rules and regulations, it's God trying to teach them how to live free, to be a civilized people and build themselves up. But all that care felt like a burden to them. And doesn't that happen with a lot of children too? One day they turn around and all your care and protection and nurturing, it's like, oh, dad, mom, it's too much for them. Israel had betrayed God and turned away so many times that God is sort of at this breaking point. He's wondering if he should abandon them altogether. Like I said, they made their bed, let them lie in it. Let's see what happens. See, even God struggles with loving disapproval, loving all of us, but hating those things that bring us down, hating those things that destroy us. And God's wringing his hands over this, what should I do? And then says something so remarkable. He says, how can I give you up? My heart recoils within me. That is our inside view into the depths of God's heart. Because our God is a God who feels things. Isn't that amazing? Our God is a God who feels things. That's a strange thing for many of us to hear. It is so against the stereotype of God. We never imagine a God who could have these angry rants and feel so helpless, or a God whose heart we could actually break, a God we could actually hurt. And then he kind of comes to himself and says, what are you doing? It's this big turn if you read that reading. He's saying, maybe I'll just give them up, but how can I do it? He can't do it. He says, what are you doing? Another translation of this passage says that God says to himself, my heart is changed within me. And he says, I am God, no mere mortal. He's not like all of us where we feel all these big feelings and we take them out on each other. Maybe God feels all the things that we feel, all the feelings, but doesn't give way to them, doesn't let wrath and vengeance have the last word. As one of my colleagues put it so beautifully, we can break God's heart, but we cannot break God's love. Giving up on any one of us literally repulses God, and he cannot bear it. God wants a relationship with us so much that he's willing to hurt because of us. That inevitable love that comes from loving people who inevitably fail. people who inevitably are going to fail and disappoint. We heard that today in the reading. I gave you that parental image of Penny at bedtime, but there's another one that has stuck with me for years that kind of shows this conflicted parent. God's unrelenting love when we are just at our worst. And that is, if any of you have ever seen the independent movie 13, it was released back in 2003, and it shows, it starts off with this sweet, goofy girl at age 12, this sweet preteen who's still so close to her mom, her single mom, and then she hits that notoriously scary next age. And for her, every parent's worst nightmare comes true in her life. It's like falling in with the wrong crowd, drugs, lying and sneaking around, sexual experimentation, self-harm, you name it, everything scary is going on for this girl, and her poor mom is trying everything and failing to keep their relationship together. And nothing is working. Nothing is working. And it all comes to a head at the end of the movie where this daughter is lashing out at her mom physically, I mean swinging at her and yelling, "I hate you, I hate you, I hate you!" And her mom, with tears, being hit and punched and smacked, calmly wraps her arms around this child and holds her tight, holds her raging, writhing daughter, and she says, "I love you, I love you, I love you." And the daughter is still trying to get out, trying to resist until she finally stops resisting and she starts crying and she relaxes into her mom's embrace. Just like Penny at bedtime, but it took a lot of struggle to get there. And I think every one of us is like that teenager. We may not rebel or push God away in the same ways as this teenage girl did, but we all have ways of keeping God away, avoiding that intimacy, never quite letting God lift us to his cheek, never quite relaxing into his embrace. And yet, God's love is there. It's waiting. Sometimes it might be heartbroken. Sometimes it might be angry at us, but it's always there, hopeful for that connection to return, that deep bond out of which we all were born. And we have the free will, certainly, to deny that and to reject it. God gave us that. But we forget God is free too. God can choose too, and God always chooses not to give up on us. And I just wonder which of you need to hear that today, that God chooses to never give up on us. So can you see that God's grace and mercy, that's not a New Testament invention. Jesus on the cross is not the first we see of that kind of love. We see it right here in this story, in God's heart just broken open for us to see what it is like to love us. The salvation that you hear about in churches with the cross, it's not just about some ticket to heaven or being raised, the resurrection. It's also about right now, today, removing every single obstacle to this love that has endured for generations. Thanks be to God.